Check, 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 check. I'm recording.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
I am recording. No, no, no.
Oily auto oils, oily autos.
Are we waiting for someone to initiate the sync?
Yeah, do sure. It, Clay.
Initiating syncing sequence in
three, two, one.
Fascinating.
Hey, we all said the same word. You're welcome, Aaron.
Absolutely.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Fascinating Podcast, episode 331. I am Clay Morgan.
I'm J.R. Forceros.
I'm Kathy Kong.
And I'm Matt Michaelides.
What? It's
and together true. We are...
The Fascinating Podcast?
We figured so since we're about to go on a break, so we thought we should all four be here for that.
I like that Kathy got confused when we actually did a proper intro.
I was like, wait, she doesn't... first names? I don't
process
remember.
Your emotions.
Let's do it again, but journey. Do it wrong. Just to like change things up.
How's everyone doing? Matt, Clay, you've been traveling a bunch. Kathy and I have been just kind of hanging out.
Yep.
I mean, I did a little travel, not like Michaelides travel, but you know.
I just went to Hawaii.
Okay.
I have a job and now it's truly dawning on me what all these people have been talking about all these years about
the grind.
How jobs are terrible.
Okay, wait. Dear listeners,
should have worked.
We all have jobs, actually, but Clay has a job that is bound by specific hours.
JR's just like, a pastor.
Yeah. Matt's just a writer.
I know. A lot of my job is like laying around trying to convince myself to work.
Like, do you guys realize all those buildings we've been driving past for all these years? Like, there's a lot of people in them working these Monday to Friday shifts.
So, Clay, are you, like, reading Garfield comics now? And you're like, I get it. Mondays are the worst. I just want some lasagna.
You don't even know. Sans lasagna, like, the Monday thing is real. I am such a cliche. Like, every morning.
So, you're, like,
every
in the
afternoon.
Office.
Yeah.
Doing the grind.
Yeah, like literally talking about, you know, the executives by their last name, like, oh, Callahan's really driving me hard this week. Like, I say things like that.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, Clay, there's a show you might really like called The Office. It's about these people who work in an office and their adventures.
During office hours, Monday through Friday.
And there's some really, like, fun people at my company. There's some good leaders. I love my boss. Like, there's... I got a really positive situation. I get to kind of build something instead of just be told what to do, you know? But it's hard, y'all, having like a real job that you go to every day.
It's funny because Peter has noticed your absence in particular, your absence, Clay. He was like, wait. Oh,
what gave it away? The 7 straight episodes I couldn't
like,
show up for?
What happened to Clay? Is he even on the podcast anymore?
Yeah, he killed off my character.
We just told Peter dental emergency and he was like, I get it.
I did.
There was one of those.
I did tell him that. And he actually, he was like, that's no excuse.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've had a recording schedule for a long time, so I fear that this horrible decision to start adulting has just sunk my availability. And all I can say is I should have worked a lot harder at writing than when I was in my 20s.
So all you 20-something aspiring writers out there, take note from Clay. Let him be your parable.
The takeaway is don't be interested in too many things. Just do one thing, even be mediocre at something, but just do it nonstop for 20 years and you'll have a modicum of success.
Speaking of mediocrity, James Patterson pointed out that you can be mediocre and still be a writer. This week, right?
Was it last week? I think it was last week.
It all blends
together. It does, recently. Actually. Well, I mean, clearly white men are endangered, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, my co-host.
I just, Kathy, I mean, in his defense,
being replaced.
If the publishing industry decides no longer to fill 80%+ of its publishing docket with white men, what does that mean for the rest, for us white men, right?
Like, right. I am very concerned for the three of you.
Zero-sum yeah. game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm the most at risk because I'm an older white man.
Poor you. Let me go grab that mini violin I have.
Well, if you don't know what we're talking about, he made some comments, although as somebody pointed out, if he tweeted it, he probably had a ghostwriter because his name's been on a lot of stuff he hasn't actually written for a long time. But basically saying, you know, there's just not, you just don't find like older white men on the New York Times bestseller list anymore. And
or like even writing books.
Yeah, I think he talked about
it's hard to get a book deal.
Yeah, that's what he talked about. And then
you're an older white man.
And then somebody actually was like, went to the New York Times bestseller list.
You've sold 500 million copies of your books.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you're really struggling.
Books that are
actually that good. Yeah.
I wish I had her name. The first person I saw this through was the woman on Twitter. I'm trying to find it. She basically replied with a thread.
Yes.
That had to go on for like 13 tweets in order to complete the list of all of the white men currently on the New York Times bestseller list.
And I believe James Patterson was on, he was on twice.
Twice, right? I think. Okay. Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. yeah.
He's got an estimated worth
he did,
of
I mean,
800 million.
Now, again, it may have been one of his assistants, but he actually did an actual apology tweet. I wasn't sure. It was one of those ones where, you know, when people say, like, what I said does not reflect what I believe. And you're like, what? I don't understand that.
Yeah, he said, I absolutely do not believe that racism is practiced against white writers.
I was like, okay. I mean, at least he apologized, though.
Yeah, no.
Something.
Now
he's like John Crist, man. He's back on the road.
Oh, okay.
He's out there. He's doing shows. He's got a book deal. Netflix is going to pick him up again.
Yes.
He's going to make that John Crist money.
It's amazing how white men can fail up.
Clay, that was funnier than any John Crist joke I've ever heard. Amazing.
Funnier than John Crist. That's my new LinkedIn tagline.
That might actually help you.
JR, your thoughts.
I think that John Crist is going to make a lot of money in evangelical churches by claiming that he got canceled.
He's already started. Yeah. Yep. Yep. That was a hard little break he had to take there.
Yeah.
Somehow you all managed to fail up.
Yeah.
You know,
you failed
it's a superpower.
It clearly.
I don't know how to
it's
point out.
Like
I've been canceled. Like I've never been given a Netflix special or anything.
It's almost like there are systems and structures in place that reward us no matter what we do.
Hmm.
Good point, JR. Good point.
Hard facts.
Give the man a medal.
Anyway, we should talk about the summer because it is 752 degrees in Texas, which means that we're not really going outside very often. Even our swimming pools are bathwater.
What? That's horrible.
It's so hot.
It cooled down.
So we're staying inside.
How hot is it right now in Texas? Well, in
it's so hot.
Your area.
It's triple digits. It's been triple digits for the week. It's supposed to get hotter over the weekend. It's
I got to look up my temperature. I'm concerned now about what's happening here. I mean, I've got the windows
to
open. It can't be 100 degrees.
Everyone is just playing that Smash Mouth song. Might as well be walking on the sun.
Oh,
I think that's all you hear.
It's 64 degrees here right now.
Oh.
We're due to get up to 75 by the end of the day.
Fahrenheit?
I traveled.
Fahrenheit, correct.
I went from 105 degree Texas to San Francisco last week, and it was freezing.
Oh, I love San Francisco.
I very much enjoyed San Francisco. I just should not have worn shorts and a t-shirt on my first night out because that is a whole different scene than the rest of California.
Yeah.
That's why they call San Francisco the Windy City.
That's right.
No, they don't. Get out of here. They call it the Rice-A-Roni City.
They call Chicago the San Francisco treat.
You know, I grew up in the East Bay, and when it got too hot, we would go through the tunnel to go over to San Francisco because it was always pleasant there throughout the summer.
That seems far less efficient than air conditioning.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We would all, the other thing I would do is I'd go to a flower shop and stand in with the flowers. Oh. That was also hippie. Much cooler.
That also works.
Hippie.
Okay.
We had a swimming pool.
Summer.
I don't know. I was working hard.
Yeah, so have y'all been making it out to the theater? Theaters are back. And yes. It is the summer blockbuster is trying to come back.
Yep.
We're recording this mid-June. By the time this airs, it will be beginning of July. And it'll be right before Thor Love and Thunder comes out. So we've had Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. We've had Top Gun Maverick. We've had Men. We've had the Bob's Burger movie. We've had a new Cronenberg. We've had the last allegedly Jurassic Park. We've had a forgettable Toy Story prequel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What has gotten you excited?
Did you see all those, JR?
I've seen some of them.
I saw Bob's Burgers.
Was it good?
Was that, Kathy? Really?
I have not. I don't watch this show, but Elias was home for the week and it was late. And at some point he looked at me and he goes, "Would you be interested in going to see a movie with me?" And I looked at him and I said, "Sure." And he looked at me, even if it's like Bob's Burgers, I said, "Sure." Because I still am of the parenting philosophy. If your child wants to spend time with you, you say yes. So off we went. And it was entertaining. I mean, we were like two of the four people in the theater. So that was quite nice. And he said it was kind of true to the flavor of the show. And I
see
was
what you
surprised.
Did there.
Yeah, I was surprised at how much like singing there was. It was kind of like a little bit like a musical. You know, they just kind of break out in song about burgers or about like holes in the road and that kind of stuff. So that was amusing. I enjoyed it. It could have been because it was 10:30 at night when the show started and I was tired, but.
Prime sleep through the movie time.
I thought to myself, if this movie is not about hamburgers and holes in the road, I'm out. So I'm glad to hear
it's about that hamburgers exactly it's about. And holes in the road. Yes. That was kind of cute. Kind of fun.
Matt, what all have you seen so far?
I went to Doctor Strange, Top Gun, Jurassic World. Is that it? That might be it.
What really did it for you in that list?
Top Gun was by far the best of those movies. Surprisingly, it was the one I was least interested in, but it was
so
the most fun
go?
For sure. Well, I didn't know this, but apparently my wife has had a deep-seated crush on the Iceman since she was in middle school.
Oh,
duh! Like duh.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense when I think about it. She likes the bad boys, the really.
That's
attractive
what, yeah,
bad
I was gonna
boys,
say. The, like knowing yeah. you, knowing Val Kilmer. Yeah.
Right. When I started thinking about it, I was like, of course, the kind
a
of
woman
like,
with a crush on Val Kilmer from the '80s. Shocking development.
Well, you know, it's funny. Her favorite movie is Tombstone. So I started putting a lot of things together by going to Top Gun. It really helped me. Go.
That's why she had you buy that cowboy hat.
You know, it's funny. Both my teenagers went to Top Gun. One of them in Greece. And in fact, Zoe went twice. And I was like, all their friends are going. And I said, have any of you seen the first movie? And none of them have. So for whatever reason, that movie really caught everyone's
attention. Yeah, why do they want to go?
Yeah, I'm so curious.
Unclear. I don't understand. It's like all their friends were going, so they were going. Why were all their friends going?
Because their friends were going.
Yeah, really unclear to me.
Matt grew out that handlebar mustache and Crystal handed him a blood-stained pocket square to dab at his corner of his cheeks just like he had tuberculosis, just like Doc.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And anytime we're out of berries at the house, whatever kind of berry it is, she'll be like, we're out of raspberries. I'm like, I'm your raspberry. Like that.
And she swims
so
right there.
It is. It's really
that's
romantic.
Your fainting couch.
I'm a little creeped out.
Well, it's not for you, Kathy.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. And yet you've shared it with all of our listeners. So
don't worry. It creeps Krista out too. It's how you keep a marriage fresh. Keep reminding them there's worse things out there than me.
Clay, have you watched anything?
Kathy, I got in my car and I drove down a highway to the danger zone twice.
Twice?
Yeah. Well, JR took me to a preview. Okay. He happened to get tickets to. So we actually went, and then my family was in town for Memorial Day. And let me tell you, there are not many movies I could fathom that that my family and I would, you know, all go to, but that one seemed to kind of work. So I ended up seeing it twice, which it's a movie's movie is what you could say about it, right? Yeah. But I didn't see Jurassic World.
Dominion.
That. I did see the Doctor Strange movie. I guess that was like kind of our first summer movie.
Did we all see that?
I liked it more than Matt. Well, you know.
Yeah, right?
Everybody likes things more than Matt.
But we all saw that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The question isn't what did you like, Matt? It's what did you hate least?
I enjoy that Clay's defense strategy is, well, of course I like this thing. And of course, whoever I'm against did not like it. That's what they do is not like stuff. Where famously, Matt loves things.
Yeah, I love stuff.
Just not movies.
No, I like movies. I go to a lot of them. They just keep breaking my heart.
Did anybody like that Doctor Strange movie?
I liked a few things about it. I liked the particular Sam Raimi flourishes that we got, especially in the third act. I'm trying not to spoil things here. However, I hated the story arc. I hated what they did with a particular character, mm-hmm. particularly in light of that character's entire TV show dedicated to them and how they grew there. And I thought it was deeply unfortunate that Everything Everywhere All at Once came out right before Doctor Strange, because I think had I seen Doctor Strange first and then seen Everything Everywhere, I would have been like, oh, that's a nice stair step up. But to see like a glorious, perfect masterpiece from a multiverse movie, and then to see Doctor Strange phoning it in was, you know, it didn't do Doctor Strange any favors. So
it was just too cynical for me, that movie. Like everything about it was so like the people were the worst you could imagine, including the heroes. Just I didn't enjoy that part of it much. The story in general. Yeah.
That's interesting. It is kind of a film where the setting and the, I guess you would call the multiverse a setting, right? In this mm-hmm. context, sure. The setting is kind of more interesting than the characters, right?
Yeah.
But go back and look at literally Spider-Man, right? We just had a multiverse movie with Spider-Man that was terrific.
Well, yeah, and I don't really think they emotional. Did the setting justice, right?
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
You go to Everything Everywhere All at Once, and the setting was what made it. I mean,
right.
Just unbelievably good. Hot dog
things. A super character-driven Spider-Man movie, right? Yeah. It's great because of who all we saw. They were the super developed, iconic characters.
Well, and I think there was an expectation for Doctor Strange to be similarly good, right? To be character-driven in a really robust way. And in the end, I don't know, I didn't feel like it was cynical. I just was like, oh, this is bad, because in a lot of ways, it's just like real life. People are awful. Men fail up.
Is power of the dog in the Marvel multiverse, or was that unrelated project?
Yeah, it is. Everything's in the Marvel multiverse. Okay. It's all owned.
So Sherlock.
Everything.
Yeah,
all Marvel.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That was just, Bob's Burgers.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Dr. Strange.
And we got none of them.
That's right.
You know, because the hole in the road is part of that portal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Matt, tell me about Jurassic World Dominion.
You know, it's interesting. Like, I didn't leave mad at that movie. I just was like, well, you promised there would be dinosaurs, and there were. Like, I was like, you told me what this movie was, and that's what it was. I felt like it leaned really heavily on, you probably have really strong, wonderful feelings about our previous casts, all of them, and we're going to keep showing them to you, and that's going to make you satisfied. But for me, it really didn't. I was like, I mean, yeah, I like all these people, but they weren't having an experience. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't changing. They weren't growing. They just were there. So, I mean, the hard thing is you compare it to the original Jurassic Park, right? Which was this like masterclass movie about building suspense about the dinosaurs. And then the dinosaurs would, anytime the dinosaurs killed someone, it was a character that you had some connection to or understanding of. In the new movie, people die, but it's literally like, there's a guy running across screen and the dinosaur gets distracted and eats them. So a lot of those kind of like pacing things, I don't know if they had to throw them out because they had so many characters. Like, I don't know what the deal was. They're trying to wrap up a lot of stuff. So yeah, it just felt a little messy. I didn't come out going like, oh, I hated that movie, but I came out going like, I don't know. It was a fun couple hours. Like, I enjoyed watching the dinosaurs. Yeah. What did you think, JR?
Yeah. I think your analysis is spot on. It fulfilled the promises of the trailers without ascending above that in any way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was interesting.
This movie will be forgotten in a year.
Yeah, I already, like, I was like, what were they trying to do again? I was like, oh, yeah. The whole, like, the core idea of the movie, of what they were trying to do, felt like a subplot. Like, mm-hmm. the thing that might destroy the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny. At the end, I was like, you know what? I might have rather had a movie set in the woods with this one family that's in there dealing with encroaching kind of wildlife, dinosaur wildlife, like a family movie about that might have been more interesting. But it definitely went, so I've seen people comparing it to like Mission Impossible. It definitely went to like, we need to jump onto planes and like fly around the world and like all that kind of stuff, which is fine. It wasn't as good as a Mission Impossible movie in that sense, because it wasn't exactly that. Yeah, but again, if you want to see dinosaurs running around and people running away from them, and that is what the movie is.
I will say also the body count was criminally low in a movie that promised massive dinosaur peril.
Yes, that is true. And there were a couple things that didn't make sense, but they were kind of normal blockbuster doesn't make sense kind of stuff. It was like, it gave you a couple too many seconds to stop and think occasionally during the movie, like instead of just pushing you past it.
The other thing I will say in this film's favor, and this is one of those things that doesn't make sense, but I don't care, is that they went ahead and made many of the dinosaurs look more like what we have learned actual dinosaurs probably looked like.
With feathers?
Right.
Feathers, yeah, with feathers and stuff. Like, and I'm fine with that.
Claws.
Does it make sense? Did they give a couple of pieces of dialogue to try to explain that? Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Retcon that. Give me realistic looking dinos. Give me the feathers. Yeah, give me all that stuff. And I will not, I promise I won't ask any questions about it, right? I just want to see, like, give me as close to what we think they look like as we can get, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you got that.
Lots of things. I will also say, in that vein, as a little shout out to a TV show, on Apple Plus, mm-hmm. there is a show called Prehistoric Planet, which is narrated by David Attenborough. And they created it's 5 or 6 episodes, and they do exactly like Planet Earth, where it's like, but it's all set in prehistory. It's all CGI, and you cannot tell. It feels like you're watching a documentary about dinos. And
so good.
Oh man, it's incredible. So he's like,
did you see?
He's like, the mother T-Rex is trying to cross the river to the island to get food, but she does not realize that below the surface lurks another kind of monster. And you know, it's like all these. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome.
I love Attenborough. It's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Prehistoric Planet, not Jurassic World Dominion, which is at 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah.
Right. Prehistoric Planet is amazing. Jon Favreau's behind that, right? Coming off of Lion King and obviously all the money in the world to do amazing CGI effects. Yeah, that is great. And then he actually comes on camera, David Attenborough does, at the beginning and the end, and he says, to learn the science behind the show, go to. So you can actually see why they speak so confidently in all of these scenarios and what it's based on and everything like that. Attenborough always pushing people towards the science.
So let me throw out a couple things. Box office wise, because I think this is interesting. Doctor Strange has performed, I think, below expectations. Jurassic World Dominion certainly has performed below expectations. Both of the previous two in this second trilogy have been the number one film of the summer. And right now, the number one film of the summer by a large margin is Top Gun Maverick, which keeps making money. Lightyear is underperforming as well. It seems like just no one wants to go see that for various reasons. I think some people are angry that there's a same-sex kiss in it at the beginning. Most people, I think, actually just don't care, I don't know, about the movie, which certainly is the camp I fall into. The trailer looked very mediocre to me, and I just didn't have any desire to go see it. I probably will eventually, I guess, maybe, but I don't know. This is a Pixar movie. Usually Pixar movies are the biggest cartoon of the summer, but it looks like the Minions movie that comes out in a couple weeks is probably going to blow Lightyear out of the water.
I'm way more excited about the Minions movie than most movies coming out this summer.
I didn't realize that there was another movie coming until I started seeing the commercials. I was very confused.
If they had done Lightyear with Woody,
yeah,
I think it would have been a different story.
Well, so are you all aware of the premise here, right? That this is the movie that Andy saw that made him want to buy the Lightyear toy.
Yes.
Right? Which one?
Yep.
Who cares?
Why does that matter?
I think that's the problem.
Yeah, nobody cares about that.
Yeah.
I was ready to go to it. I asked Micah. I said, Micah, do you want to go? Micah was like, I don't know. Let's go see that dinosaur one.
There you go.
But Micah's never watched the Toy Story movies. Doesn't care about them. So there you go.
Let's look at what's coming ahead.
Okay. And they don't care.
Well, I have a quick question, first of all. Honest question. Not Dr. Malcolm. Jeff Goldblum. Has Jeff Goldblum jumped the shark? Like, he had this, like, long moment, you know, where, like, all Goldblum was great. And now, like, do we care anymore?
He was great in the Thor movie. He was great in the Jurassic Park movie. I mean, he's just himself. But it was one of the few... I mean, definitely... Most of the jokes that landed came from him. And I went with my dad, which if you want to have a good movie going experience at any movie, you take my dad. Cause if there's a joke in a movie, he will find it and he will laugh. Like, he's very respectful. Doesn't have to be a good joke. Doesn't have to be a funny joke, but he will absolutely laugh. So he's by far the best audience member. And he makes movies more fun. Jeff got some good laughs out of my dad.
Okay.
A couple out of me.
Good.
Well, speaking of Thor, let's talk about movies that are coming out the rest of the summer. So the big ones, of course, Thor, Love and Thunder. Planning to see that one, I assume, Marvel people?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
I mean, are they even Marvel movies anymore? They're just Taika movies. The Thor movies.
Sure.
There's not a lot of huge ones left, though, besides Thor. I mean, there's other... high profile releases, but there's nothing smashy, blockbuster smashy like
that's true.
That there's Elvis,
Minions,
which is
will do
already
big business.
Getting very mediocre reviews.
You don't think Marcel the Shell is going to be a blockbuster?
No,
I can't wait to see that.
It'll be a big hit with its intended audience,
very limited intended audience.
Are you ready for the Gosling assance? Is that a thing?
Oh, I don't know.
You have to go away to have an assance.
Yeah.
He's been gone for years.
Years.
Ryan Gosling. What's he done in the last... He's been raising his kids for like 6 years, 7 years.
Wait, wasn't he in La La Land?
Yes, and then what's he done since then?
I don't know how long ago was La La Land.
Did he have to do anything after that for a while?
I mean, JR definitely canceled him.
Oh my gosh.
Well, he is an American treasure. I didn't know we were here to cast aspersions on the character of American Treasure Ryan Gosling, but you guys do you.
Wait, but
no one's casting aspersions. Yeah, what about
wow, so sensitive.
There was a little movie called Blade Runner 2049, and then he freaking played Neil Armstrong.
Oh yeah, I missed that.
He's about to have he's having an assance for Clay.
It's a Clay Ryan assance. Yeah.
I'm really excited about Where the Crawdads Sings. I just finished that book, and I think the movie could be a lot of fun. Fun is the wrong
word. What about Nope?
But not going to bank the box office.
I think Nope could do well. It's an alien movie.
Yeah, I was talking about Crawdads.
Oh. You know, movies like that in the summer can do really well, especially when they're based on best-selling books. Like, it's not going to be the number one of the summer, but I think it's going to make
money. Oh, Crawdads? It'll make money.
Yeah.
Crawdads will make money. It'll make money. And all it's of the book movie. Clubs that read the book or talked about the book will go see the movie. Nope.
And if you're going on a date, you're going to ask a girl to go see Paws of Fury or Where the Crawdads Sing.
No, you're going to take her to Marcel the Shell.
Maybe.
Marcel the Shell.
There's actually a billboard marketing campaign for Crawdads here in Dallas.
Kathy, are you going to go see Nope?
I am. But it also will probably be a date night for me and Peter. I don't know what that says about us, but...
Which is the new, for those who don't know, it's the new Jordan Peele project, which is coming.
Matt, will you go see Nope?
I think so. Yeah, okay. I mean, that Zoe will be home.
Nope.
My dad would go to that. Allie would probably be home by then. Yeah. All partners.
Whoop, whoop.
I just thought Bullet Train.
Yeah, Bullet Train.
They're pushing
fun.
That one really hard, but it's got.
I saw a trailer for Vengeance for the first time, and I was like, "That looks funny."
I have not seen that one.
Mm-mm. It's a BJ Novak from The Office. So he directed, I think, might have written it too, but it's about a New York City journalist who goes to the South. His girlfriend has died. He thinks of natural causes and meets this guy who's like, no, 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 she is definitely murdered. And he thinks of it as this like ignorant Southerners believe in conspiracy theories. So he decides, he calls his boss and is like, let's do a podcast about these weird conspiracy theories because it's clearly untrue. And then of course he's like, it's in Texas, I think. So then he starts learning about Texan culture and starts to wonder if maybe his girlfriend was murdered, but it's a comedy. So I don't know.
Love it.
Pretty fun. You know, comedies and about murder. People getting murdered. Yeah. It's always good.
Totally makes sense.
Murder.
Yeah. So Bullet Train, Brad Pitt, based on a Japanese novel. Probably going to do it well-ish, especially if the reviews are good. I think this is one that word of mouth will make or break.
There's that movie, The Gray Man, on Netflix. It's like a $200 million Netflix movie. I read the book. Be curious to see what that looks like. It's got, Gosling is the one main character. But also Chris Evans.
We get it.
Also Chris Evans.
It's all making sense now.
And what's his name? Reg?
Evans.
Who's the Bridgerton guy?
Bridgerton, what's that?
Who's the guy? Reg from the first season, the actor?
Yeah,
he's the third. Yeah.
There's
stuff.
There's some superhero movies coming out that I've never heard of.
For example,
Beast.
There's one called Secret Headquarters with Owen Wilson about a kid who thinks his dad is a superhero. There's one called Samaritan with Sylvester Stallone, which actually that one's based on some graphic novels. But it's about a kid who discovers that this famous hero everyone thought was dead is possibly still alive. So, that's interesting. I don't know why I haven't heard anything about them yet. I didn't even know they were getting made.
Yeah, that's not good. It's not a good sign.
It's just kind of where the market is, right? Everything, we're so now segmented in so many different verticals that it's hard to even think of tent poles and blockbusters in the same way as we always did.
Yeah, because there are things that we have been accustomed to things also streaming. Now you can just wait until eventually it comes out in streaming. And so I think it is a little trickier. And
you don't have to even wait as long anymore, sometimes less than a month.
Right, before they throw it on. And then there are so many streaming options that I feel like even thinking about what I want to watch on what we call TV is very confusing. Because it is is this a movie or is this a show? And is the show being dropped fully? Right? Are all episodes being dropped at once or is this going to be dropped weekly, which seems like such an unusual practice as we still are coming out of COVID, right? I think people just got used to being able to sit down and watch all 10 episodes within 3 days for those of us who don't have real jobs, Clay.
Well, and Matt, so you talk to probably more writers from different areas and genres than us. So I was here, I forget what I was listening to or reading recently, talking about how television reached this golden age because for so long you had to do episodic, very cookie cutter, simple things because people couldn't just catch up. They had to sit down and they jumped in wherever they jumped in. And now creators can always reasonably expect that anybody can do a full catch up at any point so they can tell more nuanced, sophisticated stories. Does that ring true? Do you hear people like talk about that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's such diversity now on what a TV show looks like. And we're getting shorter seasons, right? It used to be that a season of TV could be 30 episodes. And now it's 8. So that's really different. But you will notice, Clay, now that a lot of shows are coming out weekly again, which used to be the norm, right? For all you young people who don't know this. Now that on streaming, they're releasing them weekly, the thing that has returned is the previously on. They're like reminding you what happened last time, which is interesting. They're trying to push us away from streaming, like from binging, because they want us. I think we'll probably eventually get longer season orders because, you know, you're going to watch this TV show for Obi-Wan was 6 episodes, right?
Yes.
So then it's like a month and a half. You're guaranteed to be watching Disney, but they want you to be there forever. So they're starting to stagger series. So like Ms. Marvel is going now, like that, right?
Can I just say that while Obi-Wan was 6 episodes, it felt like 100?
Okay.
Whatever. It was good.
You came up the other night when we were finishing Obi-Wan.
I liked it. We liked it too. I have to
finish it tomorrow morning. And I just don't know how I'm going to.
We enjoyed it. Corbin waited and would often joke with me and ask, do you want to stay up super late and wait for the drop? And I was like, no, because you have a real job.
If I try to watch it, I'll fall asleep.
That was not the case. Although about halfway into the finale, I was like, this is, and then it finished better than I thought it would.
I thought the last episode was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Good or not?
Ms. Marvel. Ms. Marvel is, I think, the best Marvel TV show yet. I've really been enjoying it.
Agreed.
I hear that the numbers are not good.
I've heard that. Which I kind of makes sense. It's like it's targeting younger, it's a newer, less well-known
established
character.
Yeah.
Less established, yeah. I think it's really fun though. I really, Micah and I have been watching it together every week and I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think it's easily the best TV show they've done. It feels unique, it feels fun. It does a good job of being a part of the MCU, but not like being beholden to it.
Right. It's not heavy-handed. So you can see how it is part of the universe, but it is not part of the franchise in that way, if that makes sense. Like it doesn't feel corporate. Right. It doesn't feel driven by this need to sound a certain way. I love how they're kind of examining the whole coming of age, right? So it's very specific to a targeted age group, but as somebody who is not of that age group and is probably more the age of the mom of the parents, there is that kind of, there's the cultural thing, the parenting thing, the push and pull of teenagers, ethnic identity. I'm really enjoying it, but I can see why folks who were drawn to, say, WandaVision or any of the other Marvel TV shows would not be drawn to this because it does feel, I think it feels young. But I like
a lot of
that.
Those shows too, like Loki, WandaVision, you're bringing characters you've already seen in multiple movies and doing a spinoff about them. Hers is going to go backwards, which they're starting to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like even Hawkeye. They're introducing this new kid that's going to show up in the movies eventually.
Right.
It'll be the same thing with Ms. Marvel. She's going to be in the Marvels movie that's coming next year, I think. And that may drive people backwards to the TV show. We'll see.
We'll see. Hopefully. I'm enjoying it. I know a lot of my Muslim South Asian friends are really enjoying how they are capturing family and the flavor of home, you know, the the food, the language, the colors, the traditions. So that has that's been
and
fun.
I love that it also it's not shying away from like there's a scene. This isn't a spoiler, really. There's a scene where the young women pray and sit in a different place in the mosque than the men, and they're kind of complaining about that. Is that really how it should be? And at the same time, we see the imam is an actual minister who cares about the people in his mosque, which I think I have not seen on TV. Have I? Maybe ever?
Yeah,
like an imam as a minister and not just a guy that stands up front and does prayers. So that I think that's been really interesting.
Who all finished Moon Knight?
We did. I did. Yes.
Everyone did? Okay. I am, especially given that that was the last Marvel project before Ms. Marvel. It actually made me a little worried about Ms. Marvel because I thought Moon Knight as a series was pretty rough overall. But Clay, I know you're our Moon Knight expert, so.
Well, yeah, with the caveat that I was definitely the most excited person about it here. And there is a rabid fan base. I don't know how big it is, but the Moon Knight fans are extremely into it. Like, it was trending last night. They're desperately looking for the season two drop. There's a lot of people who, with the identity disorder conversation, feel, you know, a real connection to the character and the storytelling, which we kind of, you know, said would happen. So I'll be curious to see how big that audience is and why, in fact, they haven't announced season two yet. But what I was telling JR a while ago, in my mind, once I got into the first episode, I was so excited and I was so satisfied. In the second episode, I was like, this is great. And I started to go back through the arcs of the comics and I started to figure, okay, I see what they're doing. Oh my goodness, they haven't even revealed like super foundational things. And then they kind of brought one in episode two. And then, you know, they kind of reveal the, I don't know if it's, I guess it's a spoiler. So if you haven't watched it, I won't say it. But they revealed core things about the character in like episode three and episode four. And I was like, okay, this makes so much sense. I love it. They have so much space now to do this in season two. And I bet in season three, they're going to get to this, this arc called the Asylum. And then it turned out by the second half of this season, they started to like jam. They took their time and then all of a sudden they started jamming this other cool, like what I thought would be season three stuff.
Yeah.
And they never actually revealed one of the really core foundational things that I thought would have been so rich for season one. So I haven't talked to anybody else about it, really. I haven't talked to any other Moon Knight fanatics about it. But I just felt like it was interesting, some of the choices they made that allowed them to kind of get like real zany and bizarre at the end. But I think for, and who knows, I have no idea how the studio and the business of the comics work and like, you know, whether they wanted to get to Jeff Meyer stuff sooner or not. But it just seemed like there was a better order to maybe start to advance the character through. However, we could look back two or three seasons from now and say, well, they laid the groundwork in season one and now they've really been able to move in and out of these settings and arcs in a way that was unexpected. But yeah, I felt like it kind of like just kind of fizzled out there and I was not really like ending season one on a high. I was just like, okay, I hope they do better in season two.
Yeah, it felt very much like a show to me that didn't know what to do with the episode count it was given. It either needed to have 17 fewer storylines or 17 more episodes. Because it felt very much like a Frankenstein's monster of a season. And not in a good way. Jeremy Slater, you know I love you so much. Showrunner, created and ran the Exorcist TV show. Love to have you on. Big fans, but
yeah.
I don't know, Kathy, what did you think?
It went all over.
Yeah, that first episode, we all sat there and we were like, wow. Also, what? And it was all in a good way. I think the wow was just, we hadn't watched anything quite like that in a long time. And then it was the, what did we just, I don't, what, Google, who is this character? I don't understand. It felt choppy. It just really, I'm okay with multiple storylines going, but it just felt very abrupt. And
Well, part of that's by design, though, right? Like, part of it is, and I was excited. Like, so I'm sitting there, like, in episode two, and I'm like, oh, Jen doesn't even know what she's about to find out. And because this character is very much at a loss with the audience. And that's something that allows you to do something cool and unique. But eventually it just got, I don't know, it just kind of got lost in, and I don't know, also, like, the whole Egyptian setting makes it such a unique thing. They seemed really beholden to that, whereas I really thought for sure we were going to get New York in season one. And I love the Egyptian storytelling, but it's just, there's just some interesting choices that were made, and who knows how that comes
to be.
Well,
I get the whole, the character, but I feel like how it was handled story-wise didn't need to be as choppy. So I get what they were trying to do in alignment with who the character is and his situation, his personality, mental health, all of those, that situation. But it didn't feel, that's not what I felt through the whole series. That's definitely what I felt in the first episode that made sense. But as it went, I think it felt like they were trying to mimic that without the same wow effect. What it felt like was, did you all actually sit together? Did somebody write just this 10-minute slot, and then somebody else ran with the other 10 minutes, and then in between, somebody else wrote the 5? That's what it felt like. Whereas that first episode, I think, captured a little bit of the back and forth. You're not really sure how he is engaging, like, what is his reality? But the rest of the show felt very, like, once we had a better understanding, it was like, why? Okay. So, but we watched it. We enjoyed it. We still, I am still enjoying Obi-Wan better than that. Whatever.
Faint praise for Moon Knight. So obviously we're still in the middle of Stranger Things. We have, right, we have a whole nother, the rest of it coming out that we'll have to get back to when we come back. We'll have by then also finished the third season of The Boys. There's also, you know, the whole fall slate to look forward to, including allegedly the Quantum Leap reboot that is dropping, which maybe I'm the most excited about, but I'm very excited about. But let's I know we're running low on time. Let's talk a little bit about books. Maybe let's all throw out a recommendation of a book that we have been really enjoying lately or are looking forward to diving into. I'll go first. So you may remember clear back at the beginning of last season, maybe, when we interviewed at episode 300, we interviewed Ken Liu about his Dandelion Dynasty books. And both halves of that giant book that he had to cut in half are now out. The fourth book just dropped this last week of the time we're recording. So I'm now working my way through book 3 and 4 of the Dandelion Dynasty. And not very far in yet, but of course it's terrific, as expected. So very excited to spend the next 3.5 months probably reading those two giant tomes. But yeah.
That's awesome. I'm actually rereading a book right now, which I think I suggested when I first read it once upon a time, called Ka, K-A, Dar Oakley in the Ruin of Ymir by John Crowley. And it's essentially the history of humanity as told from the point of view of crows. And it's amazing. Just a beautiful book. It's a fantasy, but yeah, I just love it. So I'm reading it again. The other book that's coming out, which this isn't technically summer, but I just found out about it today, so I'm pretty excited. It's not coming out till November, is Adrian Tchaikovsky's third book. So there was Children of Time, Children of Ruin. The third one's going to be Children of Memory, which are these just really wonderful. What would you describe? Would they be space opera, JR, you think?
Yeah, I mean,
they're like colonization
you should read, yeah.
Books with the most amazing things about alien life, essentially. Just amazing books. So the third one of those is coming out in November. So I'm pretty excited about that. What about Clay or Kathy? You guys got anything you're looking forward to?
Well, I'll tell you one I read recently. Do y'all know who Douglas Copeland is? He wrote Generation X back in the day, which, you know, he's always talked about as kind of coining terms like McMansions and Generation X. And I've read most of his novels. He's very different. He's very bizarre. But he hadn't done anything for almost a decade. And so he put out this project this year called Binge, which is 60 microfiction tales. The subtitle is 60 Stories to Make Your Brain Feel Different. So Copeland always writes from a very interesting voice, and he always has a very big focus on... I'm sorry, something's coming through on that mic. He has a lot of focus on LGBTQ stories. And so you start reading this, and at first I was about two or three of these things in, and I'm doing the audio version, and they start and end like really abruptly. And I was like, oh, it's like microfiction. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to like this. And then I got to maybe the third or the fourth one, and they're read by a lot of famous people too. There's narrators you won't know, narrators you will. And then they're all first person characters talking. And then all of a sudden I caught in like the third or fourth one, the character referenced something that had happened in the first one. I was like, oh, is he talking about that drag queen from the first story? And then you get like the next one, nothing happens that's connected. And then the following one, it's like, oh, they're starting to tie together in like unexpected ways. So then I kind of got into like the Easter eggy bit of it. And then I just always have enjoyed his style, Copeland's style. So it's just a different kind of read. It's not a novel, but it's fiction. And you could jump in and out of it. And I came to really find I enjoyed hearing the nuggets as they were kind of mentioned by future characters in interesting ways. But it's dark. He's always got a very dark edge to what he does. But he also has a lot of commentary. I've watched some interviews with him where there's clearly some post-pandemic musings in there. And he's always, always, always about how technology is impacting us. And he does it in a very powerful way, sometimes through stories. So, I would just say that Binge by Douglas Copeland is an interesting enough read for anybody. If you like Copeland, certainly. But I really found myself contemplating some of the stories in a pretty meaningful way. Still, I'm wrestling with a couple of them that I went back and re-listened to because there were a couple really powerful ones. So, yeah, Binge by Douglas Copeland.
I haven't picked it up yet. I'm going to. We had her on, I don't remember which season. Why am I drawing a blank? Gracie Kim. She wrote The Last Fallen Star. So the second book came out earlier this month, The Last Fallen Moon. So for me, summer is like, I want light and entertaining. So Korean Witches is going to be my summer read. Light, witches, entertaining Koreans. I am really have been leaning towards my reading fiction and nonfiction by women of color for the last few years, very intentionally. Mainly because, you know, it's very hard to find books written by white men. So I'm left with nothing but. So out of that, I have to choose. And so I will choose the vast number of books published by women of color, which is actually increasing, but not in the same way as one might think. So anyway, Gracie Kim, I'm looking forward to that continuation of these young witches. And a witch who didn't know she was a witch. Kind of exploring.
I'm not a witch.
I'm not a witch. I say other things, but yeah.
Well, there you have it, folks. A whole summer's worth of entertainment and fun for everyone. We have really enjoyed this season. We've had a lot of really great guests on, talked about a lot of terrific topics, and we're going to be taking a break for a couple of months, be back probably end of August, maybe September. We haven't actually discussed it yet, so stay tuned. But in the meantime, keep following us at Twitter with the hashtag fascinating, and also at Facebook at facebook.com/thefascinatingpodcast and on Instagram at thefascinatingpod to find out what we're doing over the summer and what we're going to be doing when we come back next season. As always, while we're planning, we're happy to take your recommendations and advice. Longtime listeners know that it's often that your suggestions may end up making it two great episodes for us. So we love to hear what you're thinking about as well. Any final words before we shove off for the summer, fellow co-hosts?
Just remember, COVID's still out there, people. Be careful. Don't just go back to regular life quite yet.
That's right. All right. Well, stay safe out there. Take care of each other. And hey, we'll see you in a couple months.